All right. Actually, I think it's Irene Baggage. Keely Hazel does show her boobs, but...
Keely Hazel was the only one of the four nominees that were... that was listed in both the 2004 and the 2006.
I've gone to the authority on film nudity, Mr. Skin, and he's got listed all, like, the frozen girls in Sainsbury's. Like, they all show their stuff. But the picture that he's got for Irene, that's like...
What's her name?
Irene Baggage.
B-A-G-A-C-H. Okay, yeah. You do a Google image search for her, and that comes up.
Mystery solved.
What's up? This is Movies on Up. The greatest victories don't always happen on the field. I am Dave, joined by my... by the
already disinterested co-host.
By the GM to my... fantasy team? I don't know. Whatever.
You can be like the draft expert to my...
the McShay to... No, the Kuiper to my McShay. He is Ryan. I am Dave.
Sucks I have better hair.
I don't know. I hate Kuiper. I am Dave. He is Ryan. We are Movies on Up. Tagline this week, the greatest victories don't always happen on the field. If you know what movie that's from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or Twitter @moviesonup. This week, it's draft day. It is our fantasy film ball draft day. Ryan and I will go through and have our expert picks of fantasy film ball. Just to set you up, if this is your first year, this is year three of fantasy film ball, something Ryan pretty much said he wanted to do right when we started the podcast a little over.
It was the first and last good idea I've ever had for this show.
Ryan was like, I want to do something like fantasy football for fall season. So basically what fantasy film ball is we're going to go through and we're going to draft. We each get to pick five movies releasing from September 16th to December 31st. Of those five movies, we are given points. 1 point for every $10 million earned domestically through January. 2 points for every Oscar or Golden Globe nomination. And 3 points for every Oscar or Golden Globe win. So box office and award season all come into play. Ryan won the inaugural one.
The first one.
The first one. I won the second one. So this is the tiebreaker. This is, game three.
Of what's probably going to be a three-game set.
Yeah, we might make it to next year, but we'll see. Play along. You don't have to draft. You can pick any five movies you want.
You have the first five picks in your draft.
Yes, you have the first five picks. So hit us up. Send those to us at moviesonup@gmail.com. There's a blog post on the site that breaks this down a little bit more without me stuttering through it. This year's a little different, though. Before we get into the draft, like last year, you had American Hustle, which is a David O. Russell movie. You had Wolf of Wall Street, which is a Scorsese movie. I know I'm missing some obvious ones. There were like a handful of movies that you know. Oh, 12 Years a Slave.
Yeah, I mean, last in the year before with Lincoln.
Lincoln.
There were some movies that kind of jumped out. Is that, oh, these are going to be your Oscar movies. We said it in our fall preview that there's not as many this year that jump out as this is an Oscar movie. There's almost none that jump out as like, oh, this will be a win. Whereas when you heard Daniel Day-Lewis is playing Abraham Lincoln, write that down. That's your Oscar winner. Last year, Matthew McConaughey is playing a guy that gets AIDS and then smuggles in medication. Yeah, he's going to win the Oscar. Oh, and you'd be Jared Leto's playing a transvestite, prostitute-ish, he's going to win. And they did.
And that's not even counting like the misses. Like, Tom Hanks is a sea captain getting pirated, right, or as Walt Disney. So, I mean, last year's Oscar race, there were so many like obvious ones there were so many that it got to be rough. This year, I mean, as we went through our fall preview, I made some guesses on best actor noms and stuff, but that doesn't mean they're going to be big money makers or that they're going to be other.
It wasn't like you could say, Carrie is going to get nominated for leading, supporting, best picture, direction.
I just said leading and supporting. I said leading and supporting. That was where I cut it off. And I was partially wrong. It didn't get nominated for any of those, but it wasn't that great. This year, Ryan Ryan won the first pick, and after last week's episode, we had a race to see who could identify the girl on the cover of the Cashback poster, and Ryan was the first one to identify her as Irene Bagich.
That's the cold open for this week, probably.
Yeah. So
I can't do the other thing.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not doing that. So Ryan won the first pick. So
I feel like you just didn't want the first pick.
I really don't.
Yeah.
Because I think my top two were safe, and I don't want to pick between the two.
And you don't want to take either of them one because
and be wrong.
This is the thing. Like, in this year of all years, there is absolutely a Jamarcus Russell that's about to happen. I like to think that I don't have Jamarcus Russell at the top of my draft board. And for those of you that don't follow sports, like, that's 70% of the population.
To be fair, though, in Jamarcus Russell, there's no Calvin Johnson this year. There's no obvious one.
Oh, no, there isn't. But that's why I feel like because there isn't an obvious number one, what we're going to pick as number one could easily just be a complete dumpster fire.
One of them is going to be an Anthony Bennett. The other one, you know, we can hope for.
We're
going to
trade.
And then our last pick could be Michael Carter Williams. Like, it's so unpredictable. So luckily Ryan won the number one pick. And Ryan, without further ado, kick off our 2014 fantasy film ball with your number one overall pick. You are on the clock.
I'm going to take, and I can't necessarily trade my pick back to you for much more than I traded to get it in the first place. That's a reference to our tagline movie. I'm going to go with what I feel like is a safe pick, a movie that I think is going to make a lot of money. It stars two actors that have both turned in some really good performances and had some Oscar love thrown their way and maybe should have had some more thrown their way in a different case. And it's Annie. The hell with it. I'm taking Annie at number
balls.
One.
That is like taking Anthony Bennett up there.
Here's what I'm thinking, though. It's a family flick. It's a musical. So I'm going to get nominations in the Golden Globe because they have best comedic and or musical separated from drama. So I feel like, all right, I could absolutely get a Hush Puppy nomination here. I could get a Jamie Foxx nomination here. I could get best picture for musical comedy here. I'm really banking a lot on Golden Globe Awards nominations and wins because they don't have to compete against the dramas.
Yeah, and generally when there is a legit musical, it usually wins because the comedies they nominate aren't comedies. That's an out there pick. It's not a bad pick. I had it number 7. I think it's going to make a lot of money. I do, but there's a little bit more competition when it comes out. If it were coming out about 2 weeks earlier, I'd feel a lot better, but it'll carry through January as well. It's a good pick. It's a ballsy pick. I had it ranked number 7 on mine, so I didn't think as highly of it as you, but now I still have to pick between my top two. One of them I think is guaranteed 25 points just off box office, but that's probably where it tops off. The other one might be about that in box office, but then probably gets at least an Oscar and a Golden Globe nomination. So I'm going to go with my second one. Well, I actually have it number one, even though I think I don't think it's the safest pick, but I feel like Disney's on a good hot streak. Marvel is on a hot streak. So if you want to combine them together and throw out another family movie, I'm taking Big Hero 6. That would have been my number one overall movie, my number one overall pick. So I luckily get it at number two. But I'm going Big Hero 6 because I think it's going to make a lot of money. And with the year we've had, I think it's a shoo-in for Best Animated Picture nomination at the very, very least. How to Train Your Dragon 2 is probably the front runner right now for win. But Big Hero 6 could change that. So, I mean, Disney had luck.
What? Are you on drugs?
What else is there? Did I forget something?
The awesomest movie of the year. The Lego Movie.
Is that going to be animated?
I guess it would be live action.
Yeah. Okay. I guess that would be. That's the shoe-in for winner. So
yeah.
The most I can.
Everybody's playing for second.
Yeah. The most I can hope for is a nomination. I forgot. I guess in my head the Lego Movie.
I mean, it did come
different.
Out so long ago.
Yeah.
But that's
it's
it.
One of my favorite movies of the year. So, but yeah. So I mean, I think Big Hero 6 will still make a lot of money. And with Disney's track, they had Wreck-It Ralph, which came in there and became a player for the Oscar. Then they had Frozen, which dominated the world for a longer. So I don't feel bad about Big Hero 6 being my number one.
I have it maybe not number one, but high enough. I think it's maybe a $250 million movie, which I think you kind of alluded to as well. And I think you could get some nominations for animated. There aren't many certain things this year at all in terms of what's going to get nominated, what's going to win. But there is one thing that is certain, is The Hunger Games is going to make a butt ton of money. And by butt ton, the other two have been $400 million movies. That gets you 40 points, which is a butt ton of points. So I am going to take, with my number two pick, a movie that is going to get me 40 points. Give me Katniss et al. I'll take The Hunger Games.
In hindsight, that should have been my number one, because that I was debating between that and Big Hero 6, but I feel like Big Hero 6 might throw in and has a better chance at adding some awards and might not be that far off as far
as
there's no awards coming with Hunger
Games. Right. Maybe didn't Taylor Swift get nominated for song or something for the last one?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Who knows? I don't care. That would be gravy. At this point, I'm banking on at least 40 points. I mean, I think like the last Hunger Games, like 420 some million.
Yeah. For my second pick, I have my 3 through 6 all available. My heart tells me to take my number 3. My gut tells me to take my number 4, because I know if I don't take my number 4, I think that'll be your next pick. But you know what my heart's telling me to take. I don't see you taking it, though, so it's all strategy. But I could still get my 3 and 5 if I don't take my number 4.
You better pick something that's going to get you 40 points.
I got Big Hero 6 for that, because Annie's not getting you 40. I'm going to take Interstellar. Interstellar is going to be my choice here.
That's the highest one I have left on my board.
Yeah, I'm taking it right now because I feel it's somewhat safe. It's going to be in that $200 million range at least. I feel like it'll get a Best Picture nom, even if it's just as sorry about The Dark Knight. Might get a directing nom for that. You got McConaughey.
Coming off his win last year.
Yeah, so
Hathaway.
I think it'll be at least a Golden Globe nomination for McConaughey. I'm not going to say Oscar, but probably Golden Globe. So I'm going to take Interstellar, and I feel pretty safe with it. Like, I feel like a lot of people probably would have had this number one. Nolan's a money machine. Like, he makes money with his movies, so Andy gets award credibility. Or he's never gotten it, but he's one of those that you associate with potential.
I think part of me doesn't know if gravity helps or hurt this movie. With as much award love and cash money love as Gravity got last year, I don't know if people are going to be like, well, didn't I see this movie last year? Not to say that they're the same movie, but I don't know if, especially at the box office, it's going to help or hurt. I don't think it's going to make as much as Gravity did. I think half of that, maybe.
Nah, I think it has a chance. Just because you're combining Nolan, you're combining McConaughey.
Outside of Batman, though, does
Inception
Nolan
did well.
Inception did okay.
The Majestic, not the Majestic, the Prestige. Mm-hmm. People love that. I mean,
I love it, but did the box office love it?
Yeah. He's got a good box office track record.
Inception, yeah, that was close to $300 million. Prestige was $50 million. Insomnia was $67 million. Memento, obviously, that one was way smaller.
Prestige was that low?
Yes. Okay. Outside of Batman.
And Inception.
Yeah, Inception was 292, but that was between The Dark Knight, which was 534. That was incredible. Even Batman Begins, 200. Dark Knight Rises, 400. This will be interesting to see. Now he's established from The Dark Knight. He's stepped away from it. This has been a couple years. This is not his follow-up to one of the most successful movies of all time. There's some space between that, so I do think it'll be interesting to see where he goes with this. I'm thinking maybe like in the 175 box office. I don't think it's going to be as high, but I do think it'll make up the points on the back end with the award nominations. I guess this is the third pick, right? This is the third round of the draft.
You're on the clock.
I still feel like in the third round, you need to take somebody that can help your team. You can't really start reaching. And maybe you'll argue with me that I reached with my first pick with Annie. or I could make a shit ton of points with it, in which case I will have...
It's a make or break pick.
Yeah, but
I could
why
see
not
it,
do that right from
no,
the beginning?
No, I could see it going either way. I wouldn't be shocked if it scores you 60. I wouldn't be shocked if it scores you 20.
With that being said, I think this is where it gets hairy now. On your board, from here on out, are things all kind of about the same? Or do you have like a clear line of, okay, I know, you know, these movies I feel are pretty strong, are going to get some award. I know there's still one on your list that you think is going to get a bunch.
I still have three that I'm pretty confident about.
I guess I have three too, and they're all lined up next to each other, and I think they're all about the same. I think any one of these could win a couple awards, but I'm not really, but I don't think any of them are going to be tremendously successful at the box office. I think maybe 100 million might be the top end of any of the three. And I guess because I know what you want, and I'll let you have it, I'm going to take Gone Girl. I will snap that up as my third pick. We kind of talked about apologies to Chris Nolan. Maybe Ben Affleck gets an apology here for actor. I'm not really sure. I feel like there could be an adapted screenplay nomination here. I'm banking on awards for this because I don't know that it's going to get a lot of box office, but it comes out early enough that maybe I can be proven wrong with it.
I think this is a safer bet box office-wise than awards-wise. And this one isn't even one of the three I had on my big board. This is down there at 10. I think it's going to make good money just because the book is so beloved. Like, people love the book. I don't think Fincher has that appeal to him anymore. That what was the last like super successful Fincher movie that wasn't
I mean, I guess The Social Network,
that's it,
2010,
and that didn't feel like a Fincher movie. The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo I would feel is more akin to this one because it's based on a book, and it's darker, it's more gritty material. I think it's going to be a good player in the box office, but I don't know. Maybe Affleck gets a Golden Globe nom thrown at him, but I don't know. I guess this one I'm iffy on. But my number three, I can't put it off anymore. I know you're letting me have it, and I know you're not on board with it, but I don't want to put it off another round in case you
if
did pick it.
If it goes another round, I'm going to take it to piss you off.
I'm taking Foxcatcher. I'm 100% on board. Bennett Miller directed Capote, which he was nominated for, Moneyball, which he was nominated for, both nominated for Best Picture. Capote won Philip Seymour Hoffman a Best Actor nom. Moneyball got Jonah Hill and Brad Pitt nominated. And you look at Moneyball compared to what Foxcatcher is going to be, the acting that took place in Moneyball is nowhere near on the level of what Steve Carell, Ruffalo, Channing Tatum are going to be in Foxcatcher. I don't know box office on this because it's a hard movie to sell because you don't want to tell what the story is, because if you can go in not knowing the story, it'll be...
I don't think you would watch this movie not knowing the story. I mean, it's about...
That's why it's a hard movie.
Olympic wrestlers, kind of.
Yeah, but it's kind of spoiling. If you don't know the story, I think telling the plot would spoil it.
Yes, it would.
So it's a hard movie to market, but... It's Carell doing something different, which could be make or break, could be hit or miss because people don't always take comedic actors seriously. But Channing Tatum's very hot right now. Channing Tatum's up there, and the trailers, I think the trailers are good. Maybe it's just because I'm amped for the movie, but the trailers do a cool job of, you know, they don't give away anything. And it's all centered on basically Carell's performance. And something in me tells me that I cannot see Carell and Channing Tatum not getting nominations for this. I could be way off base, but
this could be the carry of this year. I mean, I think you have a better shot at this one than...
I mean, I called Dallas Buyers Club last year.
Yeah,
I called Leto from the trailer.
Yeah, we both were very high on that from the beginning, but I don't think you were really going out on that far of a limb with that one. Maybe it's just because I agreed with
you. I think it was a shorter limb than this one.
Yeah, definitely. I'm not as convinced. I think maybe one of those two could get, you know, the Golden Globe and an Oscar consideration.
I think they're shoo-ins for Golden Globe because Golden Globes Tatum and Carell are big enough names. They're going to get Golden Globe noms because Golden Globes are about more about – they want Channing Tatum and Steve Carell to show up. Oscars take it a little bit more seriously. But I think both of them – I still think they're both going to be nominated.
That's fine. I'm kind of glad that you took that because then I would have had to either make a spite pick, which I'm not going to lie, I would have been very tempted to do, or take the movie that I actually have ranked – above Foxcatcher, in a movie that you talked about, Bennett Miller, like that name recently has equated to Oscar nominations. And with my fourth pick, I'm going to take a Paul Thomas Anderson movie. The Master, not so much. That movie was awful, but it got a lot of Oscar noms. This one, I think, is going to be really cool. Maybe it's just because I like noir kind of movies and I'm pumped to see it anyway. But, yeah, give me Inherent Vice. I don't think this movie is going to do a lot at the box office, but I absolutely think Best Picture, Director, I'm hoping adapted screenplay. And then, you know, with the cast, you've got Brolin, Joaquin Phoenix.
Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah, Reese Witherspoon.
Jenna Malone. Catherine Waterston, who would be mm-hmm. a great story. She's basically the female lead.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that I can maybe get maybe three acting noms out of this. This is kind of the one that, and maybe as much as Annie can kind of go one of two ways, I think this one could as well. But I feel a little bit better about this than this might be my Foxcatcher. I can't see this not getting a lot of nominations.
I feel like this is safer than Foxcatcher just because Paul Thomas Anderson, when he makes a movie, you get acting noms. I mean, it's just weird because Paul Thomas Anderson's an acquired taste. This feels like it might be a more
accessible
an accessible movie, which if it's as accessible as it could be, then it's going to be a great value pick. It's where you're at because that's what it needs. That's what the world needs is an accessible Paul Thomas Anderson movie. But he gets great acting performances, so you're looking probably three or four acting nominations, probably at least adapted screenplay, like you said. Directing, it just seems like the kind of thing that he might get snubbed over for. And Best Picture, it's tough to tell.
If they're going to do 10, I mean, I almost feel like every movie we pick, with the exception of Hunger Games, I'm not really thinking that's going to be a Best Picture nomination, but who knows with 10.
It's a good pick, and that would have been mine. I was so tempted to take that over Foxcatcher, but I feel like you would have taken Foxcatcher.
I would have. If you would have taken this, I would have taken Foxcatcher.
Because I have it ranked fifth overall. My top five are all taken, so Big Hero 6, The Hunger Games, Foxcatcher, Interstellar, and then I have an Inherent Vice sitting right there. And then number seven was Annie. So that leaves me to take my number six. It's Best Player on the board right now. And it's a very – you talk about the Hunger Games is going to get you 40. This will probably get me 25, 30, maybe some more because it might sneak in for some effects Oscars, or with it being – wrapping it up, it might get some nominations in Return of the King style. I'm going to take The Hobbit, whatever the last one's called.
I think it's The Battle of the Five Armies. This might be the first time in fantasy film ball history I don't have The Hobbit on my fantasy team, and it might be the first year that it really does something.
That it pays off. It was first pick in the first fantasy film
ball,
and it did not pay off.
No, it didn't. But I won anyway. I think I may maybe have learned my lesson or thought I learned my lesson and didn't even really consider this movie. But I think you're right, like box office-wise, it is going to make 250. I would say that's being conservative, and I would say visual effects, it's probably going to get some nominations too. So it's not, I don't really think it's a bad pick, especially with what's sort of left on the board at this point. And I feel like everything else that's left, at least on my board, is going to be, well, I could take a flyer on this because I could see a nomination for X. I mean, I'm sure we'll talk about him at the end. I'm really conflicted because it's the fifth pick, and I don't want to throw it away. I feel like any of these could be about the same.
This is tricky.
It is.
Because I know who my fifth pick is if you don't sneak in and swoop it out from under me.
I don't think I'm going to do it, but maybe it's because I got on such a soapbox last year, and I'd feel a little bit hypocritical not maybe revisiting that soapbox this year. A guy that got no love for what I thought probably the best picture of the year. Jean-Marc Vallée, no love at all. You got Matthew McConaughey, best actor. Jared Leto, best actor. Winners, and he got nothing for Dallas Buyers Club. I'm going to take a flyer on him with Wild. Again, this is something that I could see for adapted screenplay. I could see this as a Reese Witherspoon Oscar joint. So that's really what I'm putting my hopes on. I think I don't believe it's going to be tremendously successful at the box office, though I'm hoping that from the director of a really good movie from last year, with a movie star, a bona fide, not that, you know, McConaughey wasn't, but Reese Witherspoon, you know, a big name. And I'm hoping it grabs some of that Eat, Pray, Walk crowd. So at number five, just because I can't really justify taking anything else ahead of it, screw it, I'm going with Wild.
That makes me feel better about my number five pick, because I was taking a flyer on this movie regardless. And it's not really outside the box, but it's more of a gamble. And I feel like it's a lot of what you said about Wild can be said about Jason Reitman's Men, Women, and Children. So that's going to be my fifth pick. The trailer looks great. The buzz around it is that Reitman's returned to form. And then the cast, box office, I don't know. I haven't really looked. I should have looked a little bit more about what kind of release it's going to get. But, you know, it's got Adam Sandler, Judy Greer, Jennifer Garner, Emma Thompson, Dean Norris, Dennis Haysbert, J.K. Simmons, Rosemary DeWitt, David Denman, Phil LaMarr. Like, that's a giant cast of people that are generally well-liked. And, you know, it's Adam Sandler not being Adam Sandler. So, I mean, this one could sneak in there as, you know, Reitman getting a directing nom, or maybe sneak out a couple Oscar or acting noms, or at least adapted screenplay nom. I have a feeling about this movie. This is one of those that, again, it could fall flat for all I know, but I think if there's going to be a sneaky one that we would have overlooked otherwise, I think this would be it. Much
this
like
is
you
the
think,
silver linings.
I think it might be. David O. Russell.
B.O.R. Yeah.
David O. Russell had had some luck before, but I don't think really people, he wasn't considered like, oh, he's going to get an Oscar if he makes a movie. And Silver Linings kind of came in there off the radar and, you know, made a lot of noise. I feel like Jason Reitman's due for a return to that, because, you know, we had with Juno and Up in the Air, kind of he hit hard right away. So I just feel like Men, Women, and Children will be kind of the return to form for that.
I am a little bit surprised. Actually, I'm not even a little bit surprised. When we did our preview episode, there were some things that you were pretty solid on. One of which was the amount of Oscars that Foxcatcher was going to win. And there were some hashtags associated with that.
Well, some of my also-rans. Birdman.
Yeah, that's specifically what I'm talking about.
I don't see it making a lot of money.
I don't either.
And I could see it getting Keaton a nom, and that's about it. St. Vincent, I could see it getting Bill Murray a nom. I don't think it'll make a lot of money. I don't know. The only other one that we might regret, but it could go either way, could it be Zero Dark Thirty or could it be Lone Survivor, is American Sniper. It's one of those that it's a military movie based on a true life story that's thrown out just in Oscar season. So
if I was going to take a military movie that was thrown out for Oscar season based on a true life story, I would go Unbroken. I don't know exactly what that movie's going to do. I don't know that as a director, Angelina Jolie has enough of a track record for me to say, okay, her movies do X, Y, or Z. There's not an abundance of ready-made movie stars in it. There's a bunch of guys that I think are going to be movie stars. I think the story's as good as what you'd find in Zero Dark Thirty or Hurt Locker or something like that. But to me, there were like, at the bottom of my list, the very bottom was Birdman. That I put that on there because I could see some Oscars for that.
It would have been my 11.
Yeah, I think that was the last one I put down, and I think I maybe only had 10 or 11 written down. Apparently I had more than that. I guess if I had another pick, it would really be between Unbroken or Fury. I could see that doing a little bit, and for maybe some of the visual Oscars too.
Yeah, I guess I don't have that feel about Fury. Like, it should be,
mean, it's Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
It's David Ayer. The cast is cool. I think it'll be a cool movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it'll make its mark on Oscars, and I could be wrong. I feel like I said, I went on to 13. Birdman and St. Vincent were right there at 11 and 12. And if a movie makes us look like an idiot, like the year Django, neither of us picked it. But that's when we were only going through December 31st.
Right, and it came out on Christmas.
So, I mean, we had an excuse for that. But if there's a movie that makes us look like an idiot because neither of us have it, my money's going to be on American Sniper. But it could be make or break. I'm not confident enough about it.
Into the Woods is another one that neither of us
Woods,
have.
I feel like it's going to be overshadowed by Annie. But again, I could be completely wrong. The only one in my top 10, like I got 5 on my top 8, so I'm pretty happy about that. Sitting at number 9, I had The Maze Runner, which is the only one that didn't get picked. It's got potential to strike a chord like The Hunger Games did and turn into a giant franchise, but that's it. If you'd have taken Men, Women, and His Children as your 5th, I probably would have taken a flyer on it. As my 5th choice, I wouldn't have minded it because there's such a bad track record now with young adult novels.
And I've already had all the young adult that I can take on the list. I mean, I took the best one, and
yeah.
I really couldn't double dip into that pool.
I feel like Maze Runner might have a shot to jump out there and make a lot of money, but it's going to peak at that. It would make money, but then that's going to be it. I had my number 1 ranked, my number 3, 4, 6, and 8, so I'm feeling pretty confident about my list, but just to run through, Ryan had the number 1 overall pick. Ryan ends up with Annie, The Hunger Games, Gone Girl, Inherent Vice, and Wild. Second pick, ended up with Big Hero 6, Interstellar, Foxcatcher, The Hobbit, and Men, Women, and Children. So that's us going to go head-to-head. Send us your picks if you haven't sent them yet or you want to make modifications. I'll even let you – if you've sent them in and you want to modify and not pick the movies we've picked because we've poisoned them, let us know, moviesonup@gmail.com.
I mean, I think between our 10 picks, we probably have the 5 that you should pick, or at least 4 of the 5.
I would hope so, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I would. If not, we should retire. But send us your picks. They're due by Thursday the 18th. So today is the 16th-ish. So send us your picks. If we're idiots, you can chime in and let us know how wrong we are on Birdman or something else. But play along with us, please, because it's a lot of fun, and I don't like tallying it all up at the end, but it's more it makes it more worth it to tally up.
He's going to have to do it anyways.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do it anyway, so I'd rather do it for a ton of people than just a handful. I don't remember who won last year. But
I remember it wasn't Dave.
Dave was second place, I believe. But yeah, join us, play with us, and enjoy it. Next week, I'm super excited. Next week, we have some very cool things coming up. Next month, we kick off our 8-episode October. But next week is our favorite hooker movies. So I'm very, very excited to make a list with our favorite movies featuring hookers.
Because
I think Chloe Grace Moretz plays a hooker in The Equalizer.
We're not sure. If she doesn't, then this list is going to seem a little bit out of place. But if she does, we're right on.
That's another one that I could see making a lot of money that wasn't on either of our radars. But it's not going to compete. It would be an okay 5th pick on the chance that it makes 150 or so.
Director of Training Day with Denzel.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And a hooker, and Chloe Grace Moretz is
a
hooker. Maybe.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Maybe this is the one that we should have picked.
maybe it's a makeup for Carrie.
Yeah, that's it.
they realize they missed last year, so
mm-hmm.
She gets her nomination. But we've rambled at the end, so until next week.
We'll hook up with you then. Keep it up.